I'd like to begin by acknowledging the traditional custodians of country throughout Australia and their connections to land, sea, and community. We pay our respect to their elders past, present, and emerging, and extend that respect to all Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander peoples today. Welcome to Stepping Up, the podcast where we explore all things organisation, mental health, routines, personal development, motherhood, and health. I'm your host, Steph Pace, and I'm the woman behind Just Another Mummy Blog, and also the founder of Step Pace Planners. But I can assure you, this is not just another podcast. Online, I'm known for my organisation tips and tricks and the occasional banter, but it definitely wasn't always this way. I used to be a hot mess, and occasionally still am, and I'm here as your honest and real friend each week to show you how I turn my life of chaos into clarity. Between the house, health, kids, work, and wanting to be the best version of yourself, it can be overwhelming. And I'm here to give you the tools and tips to stop you feeling like a slave to your daily tasks, home, life, and especially the expectations you have on yourself. Join me as I share my journey and insights into the art of balancing it all and speak to guests who can help us all live a better life. Whether you're looking to streamline your daily routines, boost your well-being, achieve your fitness goals, dive into personal development, or find inspiration to step up into the best version of yourself, we've got you. So, are you ready to step up your game? Let's go. Hello, guys, and welcome back to Stepping Up. As you were listening to this, me and my little fam are actually on the seven seas. We are on a cruise right now to New Zealand. If you guys are following me on socials, you would know. And honestly, I'm not going to lie. Usually when you're getting ready for a holiday, when you're a parent, let's be honest, you're basically kind of parenting in a new location. It's never really a full break unless, you get away from the children. But anyway, I have to admit, life has been pretty crazy for me. I feel like I'm bloody repeating myself here, but work's just been insane. And to be honest, I found myself just not wanting to go. And I think it's because, again, I've got my finger in all the pies. And I am someone that struggles to switch off. I struggle just to hand things over and just be like, let's trust in the universe. But I'm obviously really, really glad that we went. And I think it's just exactly what we needed. Even when life and work and all the things and parenting and that is hard, it is so important that we do take a little bit of time out for ourselves, even if it's not, not everyone can jump on a cruise. But even if that is, getting someone to look after the kids, getting your partner to look after the kids and you go for a walk each day, or even for me, when the kids were little, my biggest thing that helped me was popping them in the gym crèche and I'd go to the gym. And yes, at the very start of that, I felt so guilty about it that I, shouldn't be doing that. Like, especially as soon as you have children, you just feel like every waking minute should be dedicated to something other than yourself. And that's such a disservice to ourselves because, as we know, when we're not looking after ourselves, we can't turn up as the best mothers, wives, friends, spouses, anything, unless we are looking after ourselves. So this week's stepping stone is I want you to try and organize a little mini break. Again, you don't have to spend money. It can literally just be a day where, you get the kids looked after, or maybe they're at school and you're not making yourself do chores, not making yourself do your to-do list. You're just doing what feels good, even if that's grabbing a book and going, sitting at the beach and reading there and having like lunch there for the day. It doesn't have to be anything crazy. Moving on, I'm so excited for today's episode. So today I'm talking to Steph Gorton. I love a Steph. She's a legend. So she's actually a business coach. But before you stop listening, this episode is literally so important for every single woman on the planet because we are talking about the number one thing that is holding women back. We are talking about our limiting beliefs and all these things that we tell ourselves and why we feel like we can't move through them. And how also we can set boundaries without having a bloody panic attack and feel like you're being an asshole about it. This is just such an important conversation. But Steph Gorton, she is a business coach and she's known for helping service-based businesses scale to $30,000 months and beyond. And I've actually had her coach me before and she's absolutely the most down-to-earth, beautiful human. She's been featured in Forbes, Yahoo, Finance, Perth Now, The Daily Mail, Mamma Mia, all the things. She's grown 2 7-figure businesses and coached over 1,000 women to achieve their business dreams. But the reason why I've gotten her onto this episode is because, again, limiting beliefs and not setting boundaries for yourself is literally the number one thing that holds everyone back. And it's not just business. This is literally not a podcast about business. This is about something that all women especially struggle with. the stupid bloody stories we tell ourselves daily as why we can't do the things, why we push ourselves into these boxes and we don't go out and chase the thing, whether that is meeting new friends or just even how you turn up every day and how you conduct yourself and, you know, set those boundaries in with other people. You know, we're so quick to take on everyone else's stuff, but then we feel guilty for asking for help. So if this sounds like you, Steph is honestly going to be gold because she has seen this with everyone. Again, it's not just business. You can go out and chase your dreams or live the life that you want and stop that bloody limiting beliefs that we have. Like for me, for example, which we'll talk about is I never thought I was good at maths. I thought I was bad at money. I couldn't talk in front of people. And now here I am. I go on TV. I have a bloody podcast. So I just can't wait for you to get into this episode and make sure you listen to the end because that is where all the amazing action points are for you to take so you can stop holding yourself back. So now let's get into the episode. Hello, beautiful Steph. Thank you so much for coming on the podcast. I can't tell you, ever since I started this podcast, obviously I was a guest on yours. Oh God, I don't even know how long ago it was now, but I've been
that must have been like years.
It was such a long time ago, but I'm just so excited to have you on the show. And I just know, as I said to you guys just before in the intro, that Steph obviously is an amazing business coach, mentor, like she's insane, but she has taught me so, so much about not only about myself, but things that I was doing that I guess for myself, I'd like to think that I'm quite aware, but when I had like deep dives with Steph, I was like, oh shit, I got caught out on a lot of my own bullshit and I absolutely loved it. And Steph is just so down to earth. I feel like I'm kind of talking to myself when I talk to you, but like a wiser version. So thank you for coming on, Steph. Thank you so much for being here.
I mean, it's in the name, maybe. maybe it connects us. I'm not sure. But no, thank you for having me. And it was an honor to have you on my podcast. That must have been like 18 months ago, maybe even longer. Yeah. And then to have been invited here, I feel so honored to be able to be in the ears of your audience. So thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. So today's topic we're diving into, I think it's honestly something that every single person on this planet, I can guarantee, and you would agree, struggles with. And this is going to be, I think, a bit of a wake-up call for anyone that's listening today. So Steph, you've literally coached thousands of business owners now. What's like the one thing that you see that is holding them back, but also how do you feel like this relates to everyday people as well?
So yes, I've coached thousands of business owners, but more importantly, I've coached thousands of women. And the feelings that female entrepreneurs have are really no different to the feelings that all women have, and feelings of guilt and feelings of not being good enough and feelings of not being sure if they can do it and feelings of self-doubt and feelings of overwhelm and am I getting this right and am I about to mess this up and what if I fuck up so completely that my family leave me, that my friends hate me? We are all just living the same version, regardless of whether it's you're in a day job or you're a stay-at-home mom or you're working in corporate or you're an entrepreneur. We're all facing the same stuff every single day. The number one thing for me when I coach women and when I speak to thousands of women, women who haven't even started a business yet, women who earn hundreds of thousands of dollars every single year, the number one thing that I see constantly coming up is that women just don't believe that they are capable of doing more. Mm. And it's really interesting because when you look at men, men are so full of belief. Like men
so much confidence. So much confidence.
They will just walk into a room at Google or Apple and be like, my app is the best. You should have my thing. Like,
I would literally shit my pants. I would literally shit my pants like if I walked in there.
I think every single person that's listening to this podcast probably has a husband who is well and truly overconfident in an area that he 100% should not be confident in. Like my husband thinks he's good with tools and he's not. He's not a handy man, but they're so confident. Mm. And women really lack that. Women really lack that confidence to try something new, to be bad at things, to go after something that they really want. And I don't know if that's from a place of because we're so terrified of getting criticized or if it's just that we've not culturally been raised to do big, scary things.
I feel like ever since you're little, you're kind of made to be seen, not heard, and play small to make other people feel comfortable.
Yeah.
Like even me in school, I remember I wouldn't want to really show off any achievements of my own. I would just hide them because you don't want other people to feel bad. Mm. Especially in Australia, we've got such a bad thing of tall poppy syndrome. Like anyone that does really well, we're like, nah, we've got to drag you down back with everyone else. But as you said, like men are just so confident. And then men, like, again, we're not generalizing every man, but you know, we do see these trends is when men talk about their achievements, they're like applauded. But when women do it, it's like, no, you sit back down in your place.
And it's interesting though, yes. And while we're on the topic, it's definitely not men against women, because I know that Ryan's amazing and I also have an incredible husband and they're amazing. But what it is that, interestingly enough, the first people to take women down online for achieving are women. And so I do think that there is something there where like we are scared of being cast out by the people around us more than anything. And I think, Steph, I don't know like what it was like for you, but when you first started, you know, Just Another Mummy blog, and like, were you scared of what your friends would think? Were you scared of what everyone else was, you know, going to be talking about you and that all your dirty laundry was going to be out on the air? Was that terrifying for you?
Yes. Oh, absolutely. And I remember, I think it was in my first episode of this podcast. I think I might've talked about it a little bit, but I've always loved writing. I've always been an oversharer because I just love to connect with people and I don't have a filter, and that can be a bad thing, but it's just because I just don't know why we filter ourselves down so much, because I'm like, there's so many other people out there struggling. If we don't say anything, number one, we don't get support. But number two, people that sit next to us probably daily in our jobs or wherever we are at Mother's Group, they're feeling the exact same way. And if we don't speak up, we are both suffering alone. And it's just so sad. So yes, like I was terrified. And it's actually funny because Ryan was the one who was like, just do it, Steph. Because at that time, I was struggling with really bad postnatal depression. It was my first baby. I was quite young. I think I was like 24 or 25. So it was quite young, I find, to have a baby, especially when I didn't have my friends, they didn't have kids. And I was just so alone. And Ryan's like, just do it. Because I just wanted to start writing. I wanted to connect with other moms. Before that, before I had a baby, I actually ran a really successful makeup artistry business. So I went from uni, because I'm very multi-passionate. I'm the multi-passionate mess. I went from uni, got my degree in journalism and all the things. And then I'm like, no, I'm going to do makeup. So then I went and did makeup and I was booked out for 2 years in advance and it was amazing. But then I was just like, I've always just struggled in life and growing up to fit into the box that society was trying to push me into. And I was always called the jack of all trades, but they never finished that sentence. And I'm like, what am I, the master of none? And it's just like, we're just so forced into these boxes. And I really struggled because Ryan and I got together so young. We got together at 17 and I remember being compared to him. So in a weird way, it was kind of like you're being compared to your sibling, which is definitely not the case. But it was like that because I was still trying to figure out what I wanted to do. And I did. I was getting the degrees. I was getting certifications. Like I wasn't just sitting on my ass. I always worked multiple jobs, but I didn't know what I wanted. Mm-hmm. And, you know, Ryan, he had his apprenticeship. He's incredible and he was doing that. And it's just like, you always worried about what people think. And I always felt like people thought that I was just didn't know what I wanted and I didn't. And I just felt like I've always just tried to prove myself to people. And I only just realized this literally the other week, that whole time that I was just trying to feel worthy and like prove that I was worthy enough. And then, yeah, when I started the blog, people were like, why aren't you doing your makeup anymore? Why aren't you doing that? And they were trying to push me back to the norm, but I kept pushing. And now those people coincidentally are now in my DMs. And of course I'm kind to them, but it's hard because you just know that when you start to use your voice and do something a bit different than the norm, people are going to try and pull you down and you also doubt yourself.
The world is designed to make us all the same and fit in. Like the education system, the world is designed to create people who can contribute to society in the workplace. Like that is how it's designed. And, you know, if everyone was an entrepreneur, we'd be in a real pickle. Like we would have no one to work in our businesses, right? So, but we don't go through school learning taxes. And I see a lot of that stuff online all the time. And I think, yeah, but it doesn't make sense because we're the 1 or 2%, Steph. There's not many of us that are actually going to go and be entrepreneurs. And for anyone listening, we get it. Like you don't have to. We totally
love
it. It's really a lot harder than people think. And also, you have to really be passionate about what you do. You have to really want it. And I think Steph and I, you know, before we were having a conversation about this and like, you have to believe that you can do it because that starts first. So Steph, when you were having those conversations at the very beginning, like talking to Ryan and he was like, you should do it. The thing that actually made you do it was a belief system that we need to be having more conversations about this. Like other women need to know that they are not alone. If I'm sitting here and she is sitting next to me and we are not talking about this, then we're doing both of us a disservice. And you had the belief system. So even though you were scared and even though you had all those things, you had the belief system that something really needed to change. And I think where women go wrong is they don't have a belief system about something that they really want to do in life or in entrepreneurship. What's here is like they don't have a belief system they can earn a lot of money. They don't have a belief system that they deserve to get paid. They don't have a belief system that they're very good
at what they're smart enough.
That they're even smarter that they can do it. Yeah, for me, I've failed year two and I've been dumb in my mind ever since then. My story has been, you're not smart, you're dumb. And it's really interesting how it manifests and those stories can hold us back in later life. But yeah, I think that women specifically, we're not culturally raised to do these really crazy entrepreneurship things. And so we do see a lot of self-doubt, a lot of guilt, especially working mums. And I think this happens in the corporate world. And I think it happens even if you're a stay-at-home mum. I think the guilt is real and it comes from just like feeling like you need to be perfect at everything and feeling like you can't be bad at things. You can't be just a human being who makes mistakes. Like, we're trying to be so perfect that we feel guilty when we're not.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I guess talking about obviously those stories that we tell ourselves, like for example, some of my stories were I was always terrible at math, always terrible. Also, I have ADHD. So I was diagnosed with ADD as I think I was in kindy, which was rare in the 90s because I was a girl in the 90s and they didn't actually have ADHD. But back then, because I didn't show the hyperactivity, they just said, yeah, ADD. Because I was always off with the fairies. I couldn't concentrate. I was very much highly creative. I love to write. And I was really good at things I would hyperfixate on. But if I didn't like it, I was terrible. And again, because I'm multi-passionate and I didn't just like know what I wanted to do 100%, I kind of wanted to do a lot of different things, which funnily enough is all the things I'm doing now. I get to write my beautiful captions. I write my blogs. I do my creative things by, you know, making new products. I come up with all these creative ideas. I share my story. I also share about health and fitness with my programs. I'm also a personal trainer. And then I also do, I used to do makeup tutorials. So I didn't have to settle. Everyone is settling. So many women are settling because they are stuck with their limiting beliefs and they just don't think they can do it. So I guess, Steph, like when you started your journey in business and coaching and all these things, what were your like biggest limiting beliefs? And like someone who's listening today who has limiting beliefs, like how do they move through that?
I think if you've just met me and this is your first time experiencing me, you will probably go and check me out online and you will see this version of success that it lives in the online world. And I just want to be really clear that a lot of people think that like I just got here or I've always been like this, but like I definitely was not. I was definitely just like everybody else. I went through school, didn't do very well, didn't do badly, just didn't do particularly well. Wasn't really for me. I was always, Steph, you would resonate with this, talks too much.
Yes. Ding, 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 ding.
Yeah. So we would like talks too much, doesn't like,
well,
it's really good.
You talk too much now because look at
your job. Correct. It's what I do for a living. So it's like talks too much, is too social, like is really great on the things she focuses on. But if she doesn't focus on things like when she applies herself, I think that's the language they used to use. Yeah. And so, you know, all through school, I was like, oh, okay, I'm not meant for this education system. And I didn't go to university because I was like, I don't like the education system. And so I just went into the workforce. I did what I knew how to do. My dad and my parents had taught me to work hard. And so I just worked hard. I just went and got lots of like, different jobs and worked my way up and tried to prove myself in other ways and learn more skills and acquire more talent. And over time, eventually, you know, I just got to a point where I was probably at a high point in my career, as high as I could get without going and doing further education, which I really didn't want to do. But that was my only choice. My boss was like, well, you can go get a degree and that's how you get a promotion. And I was like, I have to go get a 3-year degree. Let's just be really clear here. First of all, a 3-year degree, I have to get into like tens of thousands of dollars of hex debt.
I did a 3-year degree. It sucked.
Just so that I could get a $15,000 a year promotion. No. It wasn't like making sense to me. I was like, this doesn't feel like the right path, but I didn't know another way. So I met my husband, Tim. Obviously, it was not my husband at the time. And he was an entrepreneur and he's the first entrepreneur I've ever met, I would say, probably. Yeah. I didn't know any other business owners. Everyone I knew went to school, got a job, like did the thing. And every morning he would bounce out of bed at 5 a.m. and he was so excited to go to work because he's a personal trainer. And I was like, who is happy at 5 a.m.? Like that doesn't make sense.
Who are you? You are an alien.
And every day for years. And I just thought to myself, he's onto something. He's got something going that I don't have. Like it was happiness. It was fulfillment. It was joy. It was passion. And there were things that I wasn't feeling in my life at that time. He was like, what would you do? And I was like, I don't know. I couldn't be an entrepreneur. No fucking way. Like I am dumb. I'm not smart enough to be an entrepreneur. Other people have rich parents or successful families or have some sort of leg up to get into this world. Like there is no way. I barely passed school. There is no way that I could run my own business, be my own boss, like girlfriend.
Close
I need someone
mind,
to like.
You thought like that.
Yeah, it's so crazy. I couldn't even fathom it. And I remember going to a self-development seminar in 16, if you were in Perth, I was on the self-development scene so hard back then. And I was going to like every conference, every event, every vision board workshop, anything that was going on, I was there just trying to figure out if Tim's so happy doing what he does, how can I be that happy too? What would my thing be? And eventually I settled on it. And I, at one self-development seminar, I realized that I've always been a coach, I guess, in my soul. And I've always talked to women and I've always been that girl that my friends go to talk about their stuff. And I've always been that kind of really level head.
Yes.
To have those conversations. Yes. Yeah. And so it was really natural for me to like, I didn't step into the coaching world because I didn't feel good enough, first of all, for a very long time. And then the second part of this was I knew that I just wanted to help women. At the time, I had really bad body dysmorphia. I really hated the way that I looked and I was really, really struggling with, I would say, like probably binge eating at a level. And so I was like, I want to help women. Typically, we want to help people go through what we're healing. And so I wanted to help women to just love themselves, all of themselves, their bodies, their minds, their souls, and to find something else to hyperfixate on rather than their bodies. And so I started my first business in hobbies, in arts and crafts workshops, but with champagne because I was like down for it to be cool as fuck.
Oh, I love
and
that.
So I just did these workshops all around. This is like before Paint and Sip. This is before all that was a thing.
Wow.
And yeah, I started my first business that way. And it was born from a place of just wanting women to have something to do that didn't require going out on the night out, that didn't require sitting on Tinder, that didn't require hating themselves or hyperfixating on their bodies, that just got them out of their heads and into their hands and being really present. And that was the reason I started my first business. So to answer your question, limiting beliefs, a lot of them came up throughout that period. Going into business coaching the most, I think I cried every day for like 6 months because who am I to be a coach? Who am I to teach business? I don't have a business degree. Even my parents were like, you shouldn't be doing this. You aren't qualified. Yeah, it was crazy.
People need to be quiet.
Yeah.
Shut your mouth.
So wild. And whenever you steer, if you're listening to this, if you ever decide to steer from the path, whatever that path is, whether that's like you don't want to be a stay-at-home mom and that's what everyone in your family expects you to do, whether you want to be a stay-at-home mom and everyone in your world thinks that you should get back to work, whether you don't want to work and you just want to paint all day, but like whatever it is for you that is different to the path that everyone else is expecting you to walk, you are going to face resistance, but that does not mean that you should stop.
And I think too, like listening to your story and also mine, they're so similar in the fact that we just, again, we had so many limiting beliefs. Like, again, I'm someone who was the shyest child. I literally would not speak. And I think too, because at home, I didn't really have a voice. So I feel like growing up, I had this huge urge to use my voice and to make those who, again, who are feeling alone and they feel like they're the only ones that feel like this when that's not the case, to use. And it's crazy too, because I feel like with both of us, although we had so many limiting beliefs, the power of the purpose of what we wanted to do that overpowered our limiting beliefs. So it was so strong where you just know, I can't just keep feeding myself this bullshit and not acting on this. And the thing is too, like we got to remember on Instagram, they made a bloody word called steffing, which means organizing. And I'm the kid who had ADHD, who had shit everywhere. My parents had to put a shower curtain on my toy shelf because there was shit everywhere. I leave the house late. I'm a bloody hot mess, Steph. But the thing is, I know how much these tools have changed my life and how much this is going to change other people. So again, yes, I was the one even at uni, I had to scull a whole thing of beer to do a bloody presentation because I felt like the dumb blonde surrounded by people at uni that didn't know what she was doing, even though I still did really well. But I just never believed in myself. So if someone like you and I, who both felt like we couldn't do jack shit and we went and did it and actually we've done so bloody well, anybody can do it. It honestly is our mind. And I also wrote this thing on Instagram the other day for people. It was like a journal prompt and it said, how would I be showing up if failure wasn't an option? Like I couldn't fail and other people's opinions didn't matter. Like how would I be living my life right now? Because I think that prompt will literally make people realize how differently they're turning up. Again, not even if they want to start a business, not even if they want to bloody, I don't know, do anything that has to do with business, but even how they show up for other people, how they set their boundaries, how they just conduct themselves in their life and say the things they want to say and do the things they want to do. because they're not going to just settle anymore. We're not going to water ourselves down. We're not doing that anymore.
Mm. You know, whether even if it's just like you want to spend more time on your own, or you want to ask for a night off, or you want to go on a girls' trip. I have conversations with women every day that are denying themselves the things that they want because they're too scared to ask. And I do think that there is so much power in just like owning what you want, owning what it is that's going to light you up, and then asking the people that you need to ask for it, or just even not even asking, telling, this is what I'm going to do. Like, you can do some health retreats, Steph. In order for you to go on those health retreats, you've had to ask for people to take care of your children, to leave your husband behind, to go completely offline, to completely run your very large business so that you could take the time that you needed for you. And that's really uncomfortable. It's really hard because you know you're inconveniencing people for your own needs, and it's really uncomfortable. However, imagine if you didn't. Imagine if you didn't. And I think when it comes to people pleasing is such an interesting thing. We people please until we have enough of it. So we're polite, 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 and we kind of have all these things that come up every, you know, day, and we kind of just squash them down and we push them under ourselves. And we're like, it's okay, just keep being nice and just keep being the girl they expect you to be. And then one day it all just builds up and it's all just too much. And then we're psycho. And then
we're like, fuck this shit.
And then we snap, and then we're the opposite of people pleasing. We're our worst versions of ourselves in those moments. Yeah. And they will often spiral. And we might be our worst version of ourselves for weeks in a row.
Yeah.
When if we'd have just said something politely but firmly the first time, you wouldn't have got to that point where your worst self came out. And I find it so interesting that we all know that the people pleasing leads to that every time, whether that's over a 3 month, 6 month, 10 month, 12 month period. At some point, if you people please for too long, you're going to snap. Like, it will
happen. Absolutely. That's happened to me literally. And I just recently did an episode, which I think was only two weeks ago. And I talk about my toxic habits, and mine was people pleasing. Like, I literally, no joke, Steph, I'm that person, like, someone could crash into my car and I'll say sorry. I am horrific. And I'm now, as obviously a business owner too, I'm having to learn to put these boundaries into place and not be a people pleaser, because it's now, you know, when they say things need to change, unfortunately, the pain has to be so great in our current circumstances that we have to change, and that's when we do the hard things. And I am so, so bad as a people pleaser, and also setting boundaries. But as you said, if you don't do it, obviously in a relationship with your partner, if you're not communicating regularly about the tiniest little things that they do that piss you off, that builds up and builds up and builds up, and then you snap, and then you look like a crazy person because you've just been pushing and pushing and pushing it down, instead of putting in your boundaries or having like open communication about small things that don't have to end up getting bigger and bigger, and then you just blow your lid.
I love that so much, because I feel like I have a belief system that the way you do anything is the way you do everything. And so if you are doing that in your relationship with your significant other, your partner, your husband, your wife, then you're going to be doing that in your relationships at work. You're going to be doing that in your friendships too. And so you will be constantly squashing down your feelings. And so when you do lift the lid and when you do snap, it's not just like that person who feels it. Everybody's going to feel the brunt of that. And it's like, if your car is messy, then I can guarantee you that your house is probably messy. And I can guarantee you that your head is probably messy too, right? Yeah. And it's just like, and not that there's anything wrong with that, but it's just about really uncovering like the way that you do anything is the way that you do everything. And so when we look at that, it's like these patterns, if we shift just one, if you just shift open communication with Ryan, because it's going to be so great, you're going to shift open communication with everybody in your life, and everybody gets to benefit from that change. And so I really believe in making those small little changes everywhere, because it will flow on everywhere else as well.
If you've been following along this journey, you'll know how much organization has changed my life. I was and still am a hot mess, and honestly, without my planner by my side, nothing would get done. I spent years creating these planners. They have sections for monthly reflections, intention setting, resets, challenges, meal planning, cleaning schedules, budgeting, and my secret page to make sure you can balance it all. As a thank you for listening to my podcast, I want to give you your own exclusive discount code, STEFFINGUP, for 15% off any products over at Steph Pace Planners. So if you're ready to take back control of your life and get on top of your to-do list, head to stephpaceplanners.com.au and use the code STEFFINGUP for your discount today. Now let's get back to the episode. Yeah, absolutely. And especially for me, speaking of that, because my biggest value is honesty. and transparency. That's my biggest value. And it's funny because I think people, like, they know I have anxiety and all the things that they think that they might need to, like, bubble wrap me and not be super honest. But I can tell, I'm huge on energy. I can feel people's energy from a mile away, and like, it kills my life sometimes, but I feel the energy and I know when they're not being honest, and that makes me more anxious. And I'm also someone, like, you can give me constructive feedback and it can be like pretty blunt. Like when we work together, I was like, just hit me with it, Steph. I'm all about growing. And the same with Ryan. Like if I do anything that pisses him off, I'm like, just hit me with it. Hit me with it. Like,
yeah.
Because the things, I can't get better as a person and live a better life unless I know if I'm acting in a way or doing something that's hurting other people. And it's just like, it's kind of odd. And I don't know if that's, you're the same with that. And I don't know if you like suffer from anxiety and things like that. But I guess when people are living their lives and they're not in tune with their values, and a lot of people listening probably don't even know what their values are, but it feels like you're out of alignment and you don't feel like things are flowing. As soon as you tap into that and you, you know, stand up for yourself in a polite way and have your boundaries, your whole life's going to change. So I guess, Steph, I wanted to ask, for someone like yourself, you know, like I do see on your socials and I love it. Like it literally is like so inspirational to me. You talk about having your boundaries that you set with like your working hours and socials and all that stuff. But how do you even start to set boundaries? And how does someone who's never done that and who's always been a people pleaser and let everyone walk all over them, how can they start setting boundaries without having a bloody panic attack that they're going to be an asshole about it?
Oh, boundaries are my best friend. And I sit here saying that after doing years and years and years of work, and even still, like literally yesterday on one of our group calls with, you know, I run this business coaching program, and we had a call yesterday and we had to enforce some new boundaries, and I felt really uncomfortable about enforcing them. Like we made a rule that if you're more than 15 minutes late, we're not going to let you into the call, because it just means that the calls end up running really overtime, and that means that it takes away from me being able to live my life and do the things I need to do to run this business. And so, you know, but I was really uncomfortable about telling people that we'd drawn this new line in the sand, because I was like, oh, they're paying for a service and like, I don't want them to feel blah, 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 yada, yada. But also I know that when the calls drag on, it also wastes their time. And I know that when you're an entrepreneur, time is like your most valuable resource. And so we had to draw this line in the sand for ourselves and for other people. And so it is still uncomfortable when I set new boundaries. However, I know that the structure creates freedom, right? And I just want to do a little analogy for you guys here, because I really want you to see yourself in this. I want you to think of like coral in the ocean and how beautiful it is and how colorful it is. And then I want you to think of dead coral. So when you see coral that's dead, it's like lifeless and it's cream, white, beige. It's just dead. It's got no color. There's nothing to it. Now I want you to think of the fact that coral doesn't just float around in the ocean. Okay. Like if you think about coral, it is always attached to a rock or to the sea floor or to a bottom of a boat or to something. It is attached to a structure. Now, if it was floating around in the ocean, it would be dead. Okay. Like if you ever saw coral floating around the ocean, it would be dead. Mm. And so point that I'm trying to make here is that like structure creates the freedom, like the freedom to blossom, the freedom to grow, the color, the life. Like if you just think about one time where you've set a boundary and someone has honored it, just how much more fulfilled you feel, just how much more alive you feel, just how much more energy you have, how much more pride you have in yourself having actually set that boundary and communicated it to somebody. And this could be as little as like when you first start out in business, one of the most common things, like when you first start working for yourself full time, is that everyone thinks you're available because you now don't have a job, which is a really interesting thing. And they call you. My parents used to just call me anytime. Yeah. Someone would call me and be like, hey, can you just like grab some milk for us? I'm like, I'm in the middle of my freaking work day. Like
I'm in a meeting.
I know I don't have a job right now, but like this is my job. And it was a really interesting thing. Like I had to get really clear. The first thing I got clear on, and the place that I would recommend all of you start with boundaries, if you are not good at setting boundaries right now, the place that I recommend that you start is with yourself. Okay. So actually honoring, because at the end of the day, you could set a boundary with somebody, and Steph, I know this has probably happened to you. You set a boundary with your team and then 2 weeks later, the boundary is gone again. Right? Like you set a boundary with the team and then they're like, yeah, of course. And then 2 weeks later, you're like back to the same old shit.
And we also talked about why that happens. It's because it's me. I'm the problem. It's me.
Taylor. And so you are the problem. And not just you, but anybody listening, if you can't hold your own boundaries, then there is no point setting them. And so the first place to start is actually to set a boundary with yourself and then hold yourself to actually setting it. At first, this is hard. It's like a new habit, I guess. But like the first one I get you to do, and Steph, I know you've spoken about this before, is with your own phone. Turn your phone off at a certain point in the day and don't go on it. put it in another room, whatever it needs to be. A lot of people have a lot of stuff they say around this. I turn my phone off probably like two or three times a month, just completely off for a few days. And people, I have elderly parents who are pretty reliant on me. And what I tell them before I turn my phone off is, if you desperately need me, you can call Tim.
Yes, yes. Okay. There's always something. Yeah.
There's always somewhere else that you can get access to something. There have been times where I've been worried about them. I've been like, you know what to do? If anything serious happens, you call an ambulance.
Mm.
Right?
Like, you're like, what am I going to do? Gosh, you don't want me rocking up and like, let's go.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, like, I'm not the person to save you from a heart attack, right? So like,
no.
So it's one of those things where it's like, we create all these reasons why we can't. When you tell people to turn their phone off, the immediate reaction is, I can't because I have kids, or I can't because this, or I can't because that, or I can't because I have parents. Like, okay, well, 50 years ago, we didn't have phones. So like, everyone survived just fine back then, right? And so it's that thing where it's like, okay, so what would the backup plan be if you did lose your phone? And then how can we enforce that now? So it might even just be getting off social media at night, stop scrolling. It might just be to turn your phone off for a weekend and be really freaking present with your family and your friends and your kids. And just to do that once a month, even just to get into the habit of it. But if you can't enforce your own boundary on yourself, then you can enforce it on somebody else. But the minute that things get hard or tricky, you're going to let that straight back in, and the boundary is gone. And then you'll be more frustrated because you'll be like, I set the boundary and no one's respecting it. Well, the person who's not respecting it is you.
Yes, yes. And that's exactly what, when I was mentioning it before, that I was the problem was, I guess as an example, I would try a new process and be like, okay, guys, like I can't be available on Slack this and this time. And then again, people please, as soon as I can see they're struggling, I will jump in. I'm all hands on deck. I'm literally that type of boss. Like I will go into the trench. Like I'm in the trenches all the time, but I jump right in instead of it being like, no, I can see this is unfolding, but they know the process, they can come to me then. But instead, I'm showing them that I don't give a fuck about my own boundary I've set. So that means they don't have to either. And it's not because they're not respecting me. It's because I'm then showing them the boundary I set 2 weeks ago doesn't mean anything because here I am now. And it's like, yeah, exactly what you're saying. Like we need to realize that there's only so much excuses we can do. And I'm the first to put my hand up right now. Recently, I'm in this season with my business that I'm working ridiculous hours. And at night lately, and I'm always for so long, I was so, so good with my phone. I'd put it down at 8, get off socials and read my sexy, slutty books that I love. And then that would help me unwind. And I'm such a better person for it. But again, I've called myself out of my own bullshit recently because I'm like, I give myself the narrative of, no, I'm busy. I just need to do this. I just quickly need to do that. And then next minute it's midnight or it's 2 o'clock in the morning and I wake up and then I've got podcasts to record. I need to be creating products. I need to be leading the team. I need to be a mom. I need to be a wife, and I'm cranky. I'm tired. My brain doesn't work. So then like you not following your own boundaries, which are actually going to make your life better, you're just self-sabotaging.
Totally. And you're right, Steph. Like at some point though, the pain has to be great enough for the change to actually stick. So someone might be listening to this podcast today being like, yeah, I would like to set that boundary for myself. And you might not nail it the first time. And that and that's okay. But the thing is that eventually, if you really desire to like not be on your phone, if you really desire to like be able to ask your husband to like, or tell your husband like, hey, can you look after the kids? I just really need a couple of nights in a hotel on my own. Like I think that's a really common thing for like women and mums. It's like, I just want a full night's sleep.
Even just to go and like a bathtub. Get your butt outside, go for a walk, just do it.
And I just think if you're not clear on the things that you want, you won't get them. If you don't ask for the things you want, you won't get them. And if you don't honor the boundaries that you set, they will not be held. And so at the end of the day, the terrifying thing is it comes down to you. The best thing is it comes down to you, because the only person who's in control is you, which is epic.
Yeah. Yes, it is. It is. Honestly, this conversation has been really actually at a really good time for me too, Steph. As I said, it's been a time and I've been really, really honest. I'm always honest, but in the recent episodes about where I'm at as well. So this has been really, really helpful for me. And I would really love you guys at home who's listening or wherever you are to tonight grab your journal out, and I want you to write down, what are your limiting beliefs? And what is these stories that you keep telling yourself? It's again, like I always give the example of, I always thought I wasn't a healthy person. I'm like, I'm just not healthy. I'm just not like that fit kind of person. As a kid, I was really awkward. I used to get hit in the face with balls. I was tripping over my feet. I was horrific. But now in the last decade, instead of me keep telling, because if you tell yourself, I'm not smart, I'm not athletic, I'm not coordinated, then yes, that is true, because you've decided and that you've made that decision. That is it now. That's what you are. So if you start saying, I am this, or even just saying, maybe I can't run 5Ks, but I'm getting there. I'm progressing. Like, you need to have that growth mindset. And this is the thing. So many people are living life in a fixed mindset and they think they cannot change, but you can. Like, Steph and I, absolute proof that you can do whatever the fuck you want to, as long as you make that decision and that's it.
Absolutely. And yeah, on the health one, I had the same thing. Like, I've never been a healthy person and now I co-own a gym. Like, it's one of those things that's just like, you know, whether you say you are or you say you aren't, you are correct. Because whatever story you tell yourself, you will believe. And so you get to choose the stories that you tell, which is the most amazing part. So it's like, I can't run 5Ks, but I can run one, or I'm going to try to run one, or but I'm learning how, or, you know, I can run 5Ks. And if you keep telling yourself that, this, you will actually get there a lot sooner. Like, if you're telling yourself that while you're running, I can run 5Ks, I can run 5Ks, you'll make it 5Ks. You might not run the whole way, but you will definitely get to the 5K mark. Whereas if you say, I can't, you might not even leave the house.
Yes, absolutely. Oh, it's just insane. Our minds can just, they're just so, so incredibly powerful. Again, look at us guys. Like, again, I was someone, I couldn't even speak in front of a large group of people. I had to drink beer to do a uni presentation. And now I go on TV multiple times and I talk at events. Like, honestly, if Steph and I can do it, you can bloody do the thing. Anyway, Steph, thank you so much for coming on the show today. I appreciate you so, so much. And I definitely want to get you back on again because you have so much knowledge in that beautiful brain of yours.
Thank you so much for having me. It was such a pleasure.
Thanks, beautiful. Thank you guys so much for tuning into today's episode of Stepping Up. I don't want this to be just another podcast that you listen to, you get inspiration, and then you don't take action. If there's been something in this episode that will help you step up into the best version of yourself, open up your trusty planner and make a plan. And if you've loved listening to today's episode, take a screenshot and show me where you've been listening from. I love seeing it. Make sure you tag us at @steppingup and @stephpace_ on Instagram so we can see it. And make sure you subscribe because you won't want to miss what's coming up next week.